Thank you, Sheila. Okay, Matthew 24:14 is what we're going to be looking at today. Let me move this a little closer. Okay, so you have a baby, you say, good news, it's a girl. And when you find that out, what do?
Celebrate.
You're happy. And you what?
Celebrate.
You celebrate. That's right. And what else do? You celebrate and your good news, you...
Good news to my neighbors and other
people. Yeah, you tell everybody.
And you make plans to take care of.
That's right. That's right. That's the way it is with good news. I got the job. You tell everybody about it, right? I got it. I'm really happy. I got the job. You know? I'm healed. I had cancer and it's gone. That's not, you don't keep that stuff to yourself. That kind of stuff is stuff that you tell people when that happens. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Just going to look at this verse today. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. This verse is a missions verse. And so we're going to talk some about missions today. One of the things I love about just preaching through the Bible is you talk about all kinds of different things. Because the Bible deals with so many different kinds of things. And so here's we're gonna focus on missions today. And this missions verse exists in the middle of Jesus talking about his second coming and the end of the age. In fact, the verse ends with, and then the end of the age will come. And so the context of missions here has to do with the future and the end of the age and the second coming of Christ. Now, if you remember, if we go back to verse 3, Jesus is on the Mount of Olives outside Jerusalem, and the disciples come to him, and they say, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? That's their question. And what will these things be is referring back to what Jesus had just got done saying in verse 2. He had just said about the temple. Remember, they're in the temple. Well, they were in the temple. They were in the temple when Jesus said this, and then they went over to the Mount of Olives. Truly, I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. That's what Jesus says. And then they say, when will these things be? When's the temple going to be destroyed? And when are you coming? And when is the end of the age? And we talked about some of that last week. And so they're asking Jesus about last things. They're asking Jesus about the future, about what's coming. And Jesus said, in essence, and this is really, I'm going to review last week's message, but he said, in essence, the end will come after all this other stuff happens. And what's that other stuff? False Christs will appear. False teachers. False prophets. Wars. Rumors of wars. Famines. Earthquakes. Authorities will persecute you. People will hate you. Lawlessness will increase, and the love of many will grow cold. All of these things happen first, before the end comes, before Jesus comes. Then the end will come, and his point is, endure to the end. That's verse 13. Which was what I gave you last week to memorize. The one who endures to the end will be saved. And so he's telling them all of this, not so much to tell them when he's coming, but to say to them, endure through it, Because you're going to have to endure through it to get to the end. Now, that is what we talked about last week. But there's something else that must happen before Jesus comes. Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Now, this topic is different from what we spoke of last week. See, the issues from last week were all difficulties, trials, persecutions, things that you have to endure. It's why verse 13 says, endure to the end and you'll be saved. Those who endure to the end will be saved. But verse 14 isn't something you have to endure. Verse 14 is a promise of something that's really good that also must happen first. So all these difficulties come, but while the difficulties are going on, the gospel is going out. Now understand that. The gospel goes out in the midst of persecutions, lawlessness, wars, famines, earthquakes, false prophets, false Christs. In the midst of all of that, the gospel goes out and it spreads. And this is a promise, what Jesus says. And so, the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole earth as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. I told you it's a missions verse. Jesus is saying he will not come and this age will not end until all peoples have an opportunity to hear the good news of the kingdom of God. All peoples doesn't mean every single person on earth, but it means all people groups. That's more the idea. We'll talk a little bit about that later. And so Jesus is saying that missions and the second coming go together. They're not separate things. The end does not come until the gospel goes to the whole world. Now, this is a big reason why he has not yet returned. I'm not saying it's the only reason why he's not yet returned, but it is a reason why he has not yet returned. Because the gospel has to go as a testimony to all peoples before the end comes. So let's talk a little bit about this, the gospel of the kingdom. What is this gospel of the kingdom? The gospel of the kingdom is basically the message of Jesus. Gospel in English means literally good news. That's actually what the word means, good news. And so it's the good news of the kingdom of God. And Matthew talks about this elsewhere. If you've got your Bible, turn back to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to look at a couple of verses in Matthew here. First one will be chapter 4, verse 23. Let me give you a second to go there. And it says in Matthew 4, 23, and he, Jesus, went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Go to chapter 9. Just a few pages further on. Verse 35. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. Boy, that sounds almost exactly like what he said in chapter 4, verse 23. And now we come to where we're looking at now. Go back to chapter 24, the verse we're looking at today. And he says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." The phrase, gospel of the kingdom, is sort of a summary for what Jesus did and taught. That's pretty much what the phrase is. It's a summary phrase. The gospel of the kingdom is a summary of Jesus. So, in Jesus, the kingdom of God came to earth because the King came to earth. God has come to earth in Jesus. This is part of the good news of the kingdom, that God has come in Jesus. The kingdom of God is not just something out there somewhere. You know, the kingdom of God is... No, the kingdom of God has come here. That's what Jesus is about. The kingdom of God is not just something up in heaven that one day we attain. Heaven has come to earth in Christ. And so this is a big difference between, say, Christianity and Islam. In Islam, heaven is way far away, and maybe, possibly, if God, you know, is in a good mood, you might make it there if you've done enough good deeds. But in Christianity, no, the kingdom has come here to be with the people. This is part of the good news of Christ. But there's more to it than that, because it's a summary of a lot of stuff. Jesus has died for our sins. This is part of the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. Christ has died for your sins. Your sins are paid for completely. That's part of the good news of the kingdom. Jesus has been risen from the dead. This is part of the good news of the kingdom. Victory over death is assured for God's people in Christ. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is your King. This is part of the good news of the kingdom. We actually acknowledge the rightful King. Jesus is coming again, which is kind of the context of what we're looking at here. This is part of the good news of the kingdom. And what do you do with this message? Jesus said in Mark chapter 1, "You repent and you believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand," he said. That's part of the gospel of the kingdom. That's our response to it. We repent of our sins and we believe. And so when we say that the good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed to the whole world, what we're saying is, this message gets proclaimed. Jesus is God who came to earth. The kingdom of God is here in Christ. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead, victorious. He's your Lord. He's your King. He will return. Repent from your old ways and believe the gospel of the kingdom. That is the message that will be proclaimed to all the earth. Now, when Jesus says this in verse 14, it is a promise. God will do this. This isn't something that it's not something he's calling us to, although we are called to do this. And our calling is sort of tied up in the promise, because he does it through us. But it's really a promise. And the promise is encouraging. Because it means it is going to happen. The message of the kingdom of God will go forward with you or without you. But it will go forward. And it says, Jesus says that it goes to the whole world as a testimony to all nations or all peoples. And so I say that because the word nations there is probably better translated peoples or people groups. It's not a nation as we think of a nation. The word here, the Greek word, is not nation. Like when we think of a nation, what we think of is a geographical border with a government that rules that geographical border. And we talk about the nation of China or the nation of America or the nation of India, the nation of Indonesia, and so on. But that's not really what this word is. This word's really referring more to people groups, which is a different idea. So, for example, the way we use the word nation, there's one nation of India. But India has more than 1,700 different languages within that one nation, and an additional 700 dialects within that one nation. So we use the word nation to refer to the whole thing, but there are a lot of different people groups within that nation. There are more than 2,400 different separate, unique people groups within the one nation of India. And so this is the gospel's going to all of those peoples, not just all nations. Nations, the borders of the nations, they change anyway throughout history. That's the idea, is it's going to all peoples. And all nations have this. America has so many different people groups within our nation. China's the same thing. You have all kinds of different ethnicities. The Han Chinese may be the majority, but there are a lot of different minority ethnic groups within China itself. Same with Indonesia, same with Bangladesh, same with Mexico. This is what the gospel's going to go to. The kingdom of God is going to get down to that level. It's going to go to all of these different peoples. And Jesus says he does not return until the good news goes to every people group. It has to go to them. They need an opportunity to respond. What this means for you and me now is, if you love Jesus, you love missions. I don't mean by that everyone who loves Jesus must move to another country as a missionary. That's not what I'm saying. I do mean, however, that everyone who loves Jesus cares about the good news going forward to all peoples. If you love Jesus, you care about that. And everyone who loves Jesus will support in some way the good news being proclaimed to all peoples. It's part of what Jesus wants. Jesus is the Messiah for the world, not just for one people. He's for all peoples. And if you don't care about that, I wonder if you really understand Jesus. This should be a passion. If you're a Christian, you want this to happen. You have, as a Christian, good news. And what do you do with good news? You share it. You don't keep good news sort of locked up inside. You say, I was healed, and you tell people. You say, I got the job, and you tell people. You say, it's a girl, and you tell people. You have good news and you want to share it. It's as if there are all these people out there with cancer, and you have a cure. Wouldn't you want to tell them and say, hey, I have a cure. You can live. In fact, if you kept the cure to yourself and didn't tell them, wouldn't we think there's something wrong? We would actually think that's immoral. You have the ability to save their lives, and you won't do anything about it. You won't tell them. If you love Jesus, you want to proclaim him. I don't mean it's easy. I'm not saying that everybody's just wired to evangelize and go out. No, I'm not one of those people. It's not easy. For some people, it is. So they just are naturally born to, you know, share. I've known some people like that. They're naturally born to they share Jesus with everything that breathes. And that's not me. And so I'm not trying to say it's easy. I'm not trying to say you never struggle with it. But I am saying this, you want it. You want to tell people. You do want it if you know Jesus. There's something inside you that wants to see this happen. Even when you fail, you still want it. And so I want us to have a passion, that passion to see all peoples come to Christ. To see Bengalis of all groups, because there are a lot of different people groups in Bangladesh, come to Jesus. And to see Chinese of all different people groups come to Christ. And Indonesians, and peoples in Africa, and in the Muslim world, and Americans of all ethnicities. I want us to have a passion to see all these peoples in the kingdom of God, because we have a message that's really good. You know, Jesus was about all peoples a long time before that message of being about everybody, all people, was popular. In history, this all people's message is very recent. In fact, without Jesus, I don't think we would have that message being popular today in the West as it is. The message that all peoples matter, all peoples are equal. That's a Jesus idea. Without Jesus, that idea would not exist in the West today. It came from Jesus, and we're seeing it here. The gospel goes to the whole world as a testimony to all peoples. He wants all of them. That's where the West has gotten this idea of all peoples being equal. God's people are committed to the task of proclaiming Jesus. That's just basic. This is basic Christianity here. This is one of the practices of a Christian, and it's a basic practice of a Christian. We want to see the gospel go out, and we're willing to do whatever it takes to see the gospel go out. And this call, this task will call you out of what is comfortable. You're going to have to break your comfort zone in order to do this. For various reasons. This call is going to involve sacrifice. It's not just, let's just do whatever we want. If you're going to reach the nations, you have to change how you're living in order to reach them. Now, sacrifice does not mean you abandon your spouse, you abandon your kids, but it does mean you abandon your comfort. And it does mean your goal is not the next job, it's not your safety, it has nothing to do with finances, it has nothing to do with your goals are not these things. You're living for something else than these things. And so I want to challenge us as God's people to extend our world beyond our house, our apartment, our workplace, our family, whatever your world currently is. I want to challenge us to expand it beyond that and start looking at the people around us and take some risks, because this is going to involve taking risks. And start doing things. Invite them to your home. Go have lunch with them. Get to know them. Get to love them. Tell them about the hope you have. The gospel going forward is more than a message. It actually involves getting to know real people. One of the things I don't want us to be is talking heads, you know? We have this message, but we don't care about people. We need to care about people. But if you care about people and you have the message goes with you. Because if you don't bring the message, you're not really caring about them. Because here you have a message that is such good news, and you won't tell them. That's not caring about them. And yet, it's more than a message. There's relational things. There's love. It needs to be all of that. And not just, some people are all message, no relationship. Some people are all relationship, no message. And both of those things are wrong. The relationship and the message need to go together. If you really build a friendship with somebody, they need to know who you are, and you're a Christian. And you need to be upfront about that. And you need to just let them know, hey, this is what I believe. This is the hope I have. And share that with them. The good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed to the whole world as a testimony to all peoples. You know, that's why AIF exists. Over the years, we have ministered the gospel to a lot of different nations. I just kind of wrote down a few that we've ministered it to. I've got China and Korea and India and Indonesia and Iran. I have Saudi Arabia and England and France and Colombia and Panama and Mexico. I have Ecuador, Liberia, Vietnam, Burma, Egypt, Malaysia, Bangladesh, Afghanistan, Japan, Turkmenistan, Taiwan, Nigeria, and more. We exist to bring the good news of the kingdom to all peoples. That's what we're here for. We do not exist just so that we can meet once a week and sing and pray and hear some teaching and live a nice, comfortable life. That's not what the kingdom of God is about. So I'm calling us to something more. Something to the kingdom of God and to the proclaiming of the good news of the kingdom. Jesus doesn't call us to just live a nice, comfortable life. Now, in most places of the world where you find strong persecution, you know, the communist world, North Korea, China, Vietnam, places like that, or the Muslim world, Iran, Saudi Arabia, much of that world. Most believers meet the way we're meeting. Most churches actually are like this, with 10 members or fewer. We exist to take Jesus to the nations and to see those nations take Jesus to the nations. We want to be part of proclaiming the good news of the kingdom to the world. And here's the thing of it. If we are, we're on the winning team. Because this is a promise. The gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed. Guys, it's going to happen. So I'm going to close this way. I want you to think about what in your life you may need to change in order to proclaim the good news of the kingdom to people. And maybe it involves repentance from ignoring this call. Maybe it involves overcoming fear of what people might think. That's one I wrestle with. Sometimes I'm worried about what other people might think. You know, they're just going to think I'm weird. Or fear of COVID, or fear of whatever. Maybe it involves laziness. You just haven't gotten to it. I understand that. You know, maybe it involves distraction. You know, I'm so busy. I got a job, I got a family, I got this going on, I got that going on. I'm just so busy, I can't get around to this. I'm got all can't you see I'm living life? I understand that one too. Oh man. But let me tell you something. These are, when you get down to it, you know what these are? They're excuses. That's what they are. That's really all they amount to. And I'm with you in them. I've given those excuses. Maybe you just need to make a phone call and invite someone to your home. Maybe that's the next step for you. Maybe that's what needs to happen. There's this person that God's put on my heart, and I've been meaning to, and I just haven't, and okay, well, it's time to make that phone call, or email, or text, or whatever it is. Maybe God's telling you to connect with certain people. Here's what I want to say. Do it. Do it. Don't just think about it. Do it. Don't just nod your head and say, yeah, I really need to do that. I know. I really need to be more involved in sharing my faith. I know that. Well, take that next step and do it. God is gracious. He'll be with you. He'll give you strength, courage, and He will work through it. Whatever the next step is for you. So what I'm going to do is, I want you to think about what that is for you. What do you need to change in order to be about the business of proclaiming the good news of the kingdom to people? Think about what that is. I'm going to give you a couple minutes to pray. And then I'll close us in prayer. And so you can pray on your own.